Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We want to read verses 17 through 24. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and he sent this very special letter to the church that met in the city of Ephesus. Whenever you study this letter, keep in mind the general theme of it, and the general theme is the glorious church. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. An expression that we hear at this particular season, when we conclude one year and look forward to the beginning of another year, is out with the old, in with the new. Well, 2023 is quickly drawing to its conclusion, and Lord willing, 2024 will arrive very soon. I suppose we all have this in common. We've gone through some years where when we came to the end of it, we were ready for that year to be gone. Do you remember a few years ago when we had all the problems with COVID? I think it was 2020. When that year came to its conclusion, a lot of people were saying bye-bye and good riddance. Well, that's an expression that we often use when we come to the end of one year and look forward to the beginning of another year. Out with the old and in with the new. Well, we certainly need to appreciate the blessings that God has bestowed upon us this past year, and we need to ask him to bless us in the coming year. Now, in our lesson, we want to concentrate on a spiritual application of that expression, out with the old, in with the new. I suppose that many people who use that expression have no idea that that principle is found in the Bible. As a matter of fact, this idea of out with the old and in with the new is taught very clearly in the verses we read just a few moments ago and from Ephesians chapter 4. Notice that verse 22 mentions putting off the old man. That's out with the old. And then verse 24 mentions putting on the new man. That's in with the new. As I said, I doubt that many people realize when they say out with the old and in with the new that that's actually based on Scripture, because the Bible does make a spiritual application from that saying that's quite popular. From a spiritual perspective, and that's what we're concerned about, out with the old and in with the new is actually a process. It has reference to the process of discarding old things and then pursuing new things. That's what we want to talk about for a little while. We want to make a spiritual application of out with the old, in with the new. That's a process. Well, the first point we need to make is that The process that we're concerned about actually begins when we get into Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and read verse 17. Those who've heard me preach for a while know that this is one of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now that passage deals with out with the old, in with the new. When does that occur? Well, the passage says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. This process of being out with the old and coming in with the new actually begins when we get into Christ. I think it's very special that when a person gets into Christ, he is a new creation. I've always found it to be very encouraging and uplifting to know that when we get into Christ, old things are passed away. What a wonderful blessing that is. But all things become new. The Bible teaches that when we get into Christ, we're given a clean slate. And when God forgives, he forgets. I like the expression found in the book of Psalms, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That's an illustration to help us appreciate the completeness of God's forgiveness. When he forgives, he forgets. Well, that should lead us to ask a question. How is it that we get into Christ to begin this process of being out with the old and then in with the new? Well, that's a good question. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. And as I have said many, many times, there are two passages in the New Testament that teach us how to get into Christ. Now, we've already established a very important point. The process of being out with the old and then in with the new begins when we get into Christ. We're about to see from the scriptures how it is that we get into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, let's start at verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Notice especially in verse 27 that we're baptized into Christ. Now this is one of the verses in the New Testament where we learn how it is that we get into Christ. Let's turn also to Romans chapter 6 and read a few verses beginning at verse 3. Romans 6, beginning at verse 3. By the way, we just read from the book of Galatians. That letter was sent to the Christians in the area known as Galatia. There were a number of congregations in that area. It was important for those early Christians to be reminded of how it is that we get into Christ. We need that same reminder today. Also, this letter was sent to the congregation in Rome. It was written to Christians. Now, they needed to be reminded of how it is that they got into Christ. We need that same reminder today. Romans 6 and verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, without using the particular words that we're using today, don't these passages deal with out with the old, in with the new? That process begins when we get into Christ, and these verses teach very clearly, as well as the ones that we read from Galatians 3, that we're baptized into the Lord. Over the years, I've heard a few people say that it's not necessary to be baptized in order to be saved from sin. I've thought about that over the years, and it clearly doesn't go along with the teaching of the Bible. But if a person takes the position that it's not necessary to be baptized in order to be saved, he's maybe going to a place he really doesn't want to go. These verses mention the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Were the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ essential for our salvation? Well, everybody says yes. Well, if we say that baptism is not essential for salvation, you see where we're going? I would hate to stand in front of my Lord and try to explain to him why I didn't believe that his death, burial, and resurrection were essential. But if I take the position that baptism is not essential for our salvation, that's the conclusion that I'm forced to take. Well, we just need to take the scriptures, study them very carefully, handle them correctly, or as the Bible says, handle them rightly, rightly divide the word of truth, and leave man's opinions out, and then we'll know what the Lord wants for us to know. Well, the process of out with the old and in with the new from a spiritual perspective begins when we get into Christ, and we understand from the scriptures how it is that a person gets into Christ. And this brings us to our second point. This process that we're concerned about today, out with the old and in with the new, is to continue after we get into Christ. We know that it begins when we get into Christ, but it is to continue after we get into Christ. Once again, those instructions that we read from Ephesians chapter 4 were actually addressed to Christians. Now let's look more carefully for a few moments at two important activities that are mentioned. We've already referred to them, but let's look at them more carefully. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we first want to consider what's mentioned in verse 22. Verse 22 teaches us to put off the old man. Now, we understand that when we're baptized into Christ, the old man is gone. What a blessing that is. However, we're still in the world. We're still flesh. We're still subject to temptation. And the devil would like to do whatever he can to try to get God's children caught up in the ways of the world. He'll put temptation before us. It's a struggle to continually put off the old man. But it can, and it must be done. This is the process of out with the old and in with the new. The old man is to be put off. That's continual. We know when it occurs, when we're baptized, but that's the beginning. For the rest of our lives, we're to do our very best to put off the old man. Now, specifically, what does that involve? Let's read a few verses in the same chapter, continuing at verse 25. Putting off the old man involves putting away the sinful activities that are listed in these verses. We'll look at some other passages. Let's continue at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, this is not a complete list of all the activities that we're to put away as we endeavor to be out with the old. This is a fairly lengthy list, but it's not a complete list. Matter of fact, sometimes I think about where the works of the flesh are listed in Galatians 5. After listing a number of sinful activities, Paul says, and such like. In other words, there are others that could be added to that list. Putting off the old man involves putting away sinful activities. And the Bible is the standard by which we determine whether something's right or wrong. Not what I feel, not what I think, not what someone else feels or thinks. Or not necessarily what I've always believed. But the Bible is the standard for determining whether something's right or wrong. This morning, Brother Phil, in his program, talked about having a clear conscience. Excellent lesson. The conscience is very helpful in following God if it is properly trained. Conscience will let us know when we're doing something that isn't right if it's properly trained. If it's not properly trained, then the conscience is not a safe guide. But if the conscience is properly trained, we know when we're tempted to do something that isn't right. And then we can depend upon the Lord for help in overcoming that, whatever it might be. But putting off the old man involves putting away sinful activities such as those listed in the verses that we just read. And you know, this is a very lengthy list. And whenever we consider matters like this, we need to understand that temptation is a universal process, but it's also personal. Things that tempt you may not tempt me. Things that tempt me may not tempt you. But the Bible teaches us that we're to continually struggle to put off the old man. That involves abstaining from activities such as those that we read. Let's look at another list. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Now we'll come right back to Ephesians 4. So for just a moment, let's turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. This chapter begins by talking about those who have been raised with Christ. Those who have been raised with Christ are to seek those things which are above. We're not to set our affection on things on the earth. Well, we need to understand that putting off the old man involves activities that do not please God. The Ephesians learned about that. The people in Colossae also need to be taught about that, and we need to be taught today. Colossians 3, let's start at verse 5. Mortify. I don't know about you, but that's not a word that I use a whole lot today. You know what it means? It means put to death. Don't treat these things haphazardly. Don't consider these things not to be matters of great importance. That's a strong word. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. All right, what does that include? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice especially the verse 9 mentions putting off the old man. Well, that's what we're concerned about. Out with the old. Well, after we've gotten into Christ, and this letter was written to those who have been raised with Christ, and it's important for them to continue to put off the old man, it's important for us to do the same thing today. Once again, that word mortify is a very strong word. It means put to death. These are things that we're to abstain from. Well, this process that we're concerned about today of out with the old and in with the new begins when we are baptized into Christ. But that's the beginning. Through the remainder of our lives, we're to continue to put off the old man. You know, the old man, if we're not careful, can have a way to creep back in. Well, we need to fight against it. I become concerned, and I've expressed this before, when I hear people just go on and on and on about their past. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I don't have to worry about that anymore. And to continually be zeroed in on that and harp on it over and over again, I just don't believe that's a good thing for us to do. The Bible says we put those things to death. Leave them in the past. You know, if God can forget them, it seems that we ought to be able to do the same thing. Now, we're still subject to temptation, don't get me wrong. But with the Lord's help, we can fight against these things. And wouldn't our world be much better off if the sins listed just in verse 8 were eliminated? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. I was watching a news report the other day, and I had to quit listening to it because it was so discouraging. I believe it was on Christmas Day. A family was involved in a horrible shooting. Two brothers, one 14, one 15, and a sister who was 23. From the report that I heard, what little bit I listened to, and I know you have to be careful listening to news reports and reading anything on the internet, it's my understanding that the younger fella came on the scene and he was jealous because he didn't get as many gifts as his brother did, who was a year older than him. So he pulls out a gun, and the older sister got involved. She was shot and killed. And then the other young man pulled out his gun, and I don't know the final result because I couldn't listen to any more of it. I suspect that another one died. Or if he didn't die, he was critically injured. I couldn't listen to the end of the report. On Christmas Day, uncontrolled anger is a serious problem in our world today. I sometimes try to caution Teresa, and she tries to caution me. If someone does or says anything when you're driving, let it go. Because if you don't, you could lose your life very quickly. People are so prone to just uncontrolled anger. And uncontrolled anger will cause a person's ability to reason to go out the window, and then he'll do just about anything. Well, that's sad, but that's the condition that our society is in today. I'm glad not everybody follows that, but a lot of people do. When it comes to children of God, what does the Bible say? It says, put it off. Now, anger is not the only matter that's discussed. But if we're not careful, that kind of nonsense that goes on in the world can rub off on us. We're constantly exposed to it. Well, we have to continually put off the old man. Well, let's turn our attention to some more positive matters. Ephesians 4, this is the second activity that we want to consider in regard to out with the old and in with the new. We've talked about putting off the old man. What about putting on the new man? Ephesians 4 and verse 24 teaches us to put on the new man. Now, exactly what does that involve? Well, there are some good activities listed for us that we're to put on. And I want you to notice the order. Put off, put on. That's the proper order. We need to take care of the negative matters and then turn our attention to the positive matters. Look at verse 32 of Ephesians 4. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Well, that verse gives us the opposite of uncontrolled anger, doesn't it? God's people are to be concerned about kindness, being tender-hearted, being willing to forgive, and so forth. This matter of in with the new involves putting on the new man. There are wonderful characteristics that the Lord wants us to possess. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 again. Earlier we read down through verse 9, and verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All right, we've taken care of the negative matter. What about the positive matter? We're to put on the new man. That involves participating in the good activities that please the Lord. Go down to verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. There are some wonderful characteristics listed that the Lord wants us to put on. That's a lifelong process, isn't it? Now, what's the key to continuing this process of out with the old and in with the new after we've begun it? Let's go back to Ephesians 4 and read verse 23. And I want you to notice that this verse is right between verse 22 and verse 24. Verse 22 talks about putting off the old man. Verse 24 talks about putting on the new man. Verse 23 gives us the key to continuing this process. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to be renewed on a daily basis. Matter of fact, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says the outward man is perishing. We're familiar with that. That doesn't have to be so with the inward man, but the inward man is renewed day by day. On a daily basis, we need to be renewed spiritually. That will help us to continue the process of out with the old and in with the new. Well, these are some things that we need to be reminded of from time to time. I thought that maybe at the end of a year would be a good time to think about them. But we also need to be prepared to share these things with others. I still believe that there are people in our world who are looking for something better. Many people have tried things to look for happiness. I can't help but think about Solomon. He tried to find happiness in all kinds of ways, but after he had tried and done everything, his conclusion was, fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That was his conclusion at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. I believe people today are searching for something. They may not know it, but many people are trying various ways to find happiness and are unable to find it. We need to be prepared to share these things with them. That when one gets into Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new. And the Bible's very clear in showing us how to get into Christ. But then the Bible's also very clear in showing us that as God's children, we're to continually put off the old ways of the world, but then put on those ways that are pleasing unto God. Let's think about these things as we go through the new year, Lord willing. I believe it will help us. And as we are helped, we'll have a good impression upon other people.